Hi, I'm Jason Wacob, founder and co-CEO of MindBodyGreen, and your host for the MindBodyGreen podcast, where I'll be bringing you deep and insightful dialogues with some of the greatest minds in wellness. If you like what you hear, please consider giving us a 5-star review and comment. And don't forget to visit us at MindBodyGreen.com for your daily dose of wellness, and make sure to check out all of our great offerings, including our online classes and trainings. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast. Hi, I'm Jason Wacob, founder and CEO of MindBodyGreen, the best-selling author of Wealth, and your host for the MindBodyGreen podcast, where I'll be bringing you deep and insightful dialogues with some of the greatest minds in wellness. If you like what you hear, please give us a 5-star review, comment, and share with your friends and family. And don't forget to visit us at MindBodyGreen.com for your daily dose of wellness. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast.
Hey everyone, this is Colleen Wacob, and I'm the co-founder and co-CEO of MindBodyGreen. I'll be your host for today's podcast. Today, I'm excited to welcome Lo Bosworth to the MindBodyGreen podcast. Lo is a TV personality, entrepreneur, and wellness warrior. After learning that her own struggles with anxiety were due in part to vitamin deficiencies, Lo took her health into her own hands, falling in love with transcendental meditation, mindfulness practices, and eventually founding Love Wellness, a woman-focused wellness company. Lo has also had a love for cooking since childhood, which led her to get a degree from the French Culinary Institute. There, she learned how to apply classic techniques with nourishing and better-for-you ingredients. We chat about her thoughts on the keto diet, her tips for staying hydrated, her favorite New York City wellness joints, and how she finds balance in her super fast-paced life. Well, I'm thrilled to have Lo Bosworth, founder of Love Wellness, on the MindBodyGreen podcast. Welcome.
Hi, Colleen. Thanks. How are you?
Good. Aside from a little too cold, I'll stop complaining about the New York winter now.
Do you want to wear my jacket?
I might.
I have a ski coat here with me.
I might. It's getting a little brutal out there for this Californian.
I understand.
So you've been pretty open about your struggles with anxiety. Can you tell us about your journey there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in New York since 2012. I moved to New York. I think I was just trying to escape my past, being on television, just trying to run away and start a new life for myself here. And I think I've actually been pretty successful in doing so. But about 4 years ago, I started to develop really bad anxiety.
And you didn't have it before?
And so I've always had some anxiety, but I don't think I had the words or the knowledge to be able to like properly apply terminology to it, if that makes sense. And I never really got panic attacks up until the past few years. So when I was growing up, I would experience anxiety in different ways. You know, I'd be really nervous whenever my mom would leave the house. I was convinced she was never coming home again. You know, she was going to get in a horrible accident. So, you know, I've had anxiety, and I can see areas in my life where I have been an anxious person since I was a kid. But it really kind of changed when I was an adult. I guess I was 25, 26, it's almost like my body kind of reached the tipping point. Like if you imagine a glass of water or something like that, like imagine like the anxiety building up until it starts to spill over. And then you actually start to really notice it, feel the effects of it. It feels really tangible in your body. And so it was a couple years for me. A couple years ago for me when that started to happen. And I'm somebody that's really proactive. So when it started to happen, I immediately tried to figure it out. And to be honest with you, it has been a years-long process at this point of trying to figure it out, right?
It is a journey.
It's definitely a journey. And I think it's a journey that never ends. I think that you can figure out how to best deal with your own version of anxiety, but there's a lot of trial and error, right? And there's all these different methodologies and different practices and different ways of perceiving it and approaching it. And so I think it can be really confusing for somebody that is struggling with their anxiety, depression to get it under control, because there's almost like, I don't want to say too many resources, but I think that every body is unique, and mm-hmm. So the approach that's going to be right for you is different than it would be for your best friend or for your mom or for any other person.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I would say that the first thing that really helped sort of slow down my mind and calm down my body was transcendental meditation. So I learned how to do that a couple years ago at the TM Center that's in Midtown.
And everything. Don't worry, I won't ask you what it
is. Yes, don't.
One thing my husband does not know about me.
Exactly. You can't reveal your mantra. I don't know if you reveal it, it like spoils it for you. I don't know what the thinking
what
is
the
behind
consequences
that.
Are.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I went to the TM Center in Midtown. I did, you know, the class for the week and meditated with everybody. And it was this like really transcendental experience for me. And it more than exercise, more than changing my diet, more than anything else, it was really the first thing that really helped address for me what was just seemed to be kind of like a constant racing mind. And I saw all kinds of doctors, homeopaths, acupuncturists, specialists, anybody that I could see, I went and saw. Because like I said, I'm really proactive and I don't like feeling uncomfortable. Most people do not. And so I was trying desperately to get it out of my body. A turning point for me about a year and a half after I started to feel pretty uncomfortable. I was just seeing my like general practitioner and she finally was like, let's do like a vitamin panel. Mm. Let's see what's going on beneath the surface here. And it came back 10 days or 2 weeks later. I like woke up to test results that were bad.
So where were there deficiencies?
So really severe deficiencies in vitamin B, B12, and really severe deficiencies with vitamin D.
Yes.
So once I was armed with that information, I took it out into the world. And, you know, based on my doctor's advice and guidance, realized that there was a huge correlation between what was going on upstairs in my mind and my actual physical body.
Yeah.
Because anxiety, as it turns out, is a physical manifestation. A lot of people might tell you differently, but a lot of doctors and you know, people in the medical community will tell you that it actually is like a physical manifestation of stress or something that's in your body. It happens in the mind, but it's also very physical. And for me personally, I feel that acutely when I'm uncomfortable or like when my mind is racing, like I just feel physically very uncomfortable. So to learn that at least in part was being guided by these vitamin deficiencies was really eye-opening for me because I had always been somebody that never really bought into supplements, that didn't buy into vitamins. I was like, this is snake oil. Like, why do I need to take a supplement? Like, I'm
fine. The founder of a supplement company.
Exactly. Hence the transition in my life towards owning a women's wellness company that sells a lot of supplements. But so, you know, through my research and through different tests and stuff like this, I discovered that I have a genetic predisposition to not being able to process B12 through
food. I have the same thing. You have to get a special type of folate.
Yeah. So it's folate. And then I actually get to stab myself in my leg with my B12 shots like every other week. So it's really hard for my body to process it.
So you take weekly B12 shots.
Weekly B12 shots, yeah. So sometimes I go between doing them once a month and then once a week, just kind of like on doctor's recommendations based on where my blood tests are. So I do the injections because for me it's kind of the only thing that works. I've taken all different kinds of B12 supplements and like they just don't process properly in my stomach. And so that is, you know, what's kind of going on with me from like a genetic perspective. And then the vitamin D, I don't know, we live in New York and there's never sunshine. I'm not sure where that comes from, but I take an oral vitamin D supplement at this point. It's helped me a lot. But I think, you know, for me, one of the things that still remains outstanding or uncomfortable is that now I have anxiety about my anxiety, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to.
Right.
I fear it. You know what I mean?
That it will rear its head.
Yeah.
In a time in which you think you have a controlled checkbox, we're in a good place here, and that it might come back and surprise you.
Not that it might surprise me, just that like it's still there at all. You know what I mean? I'm not worried like, oh, I'm going to be at work and I'm going to get a panic attack. I don't have concerns like that.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I start to feel this tingling and this tightness in my throat, and that to me is the first physical sign of it. And when I feel that, I'm like, okay.
Right.
What's going on here?
Right.
What's going on here today, body?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I would say at this point in my life, it's very much under control. I had a bad 2 years where I was really struggling with like bad depression and anxiety that went hand in hand. But once I was armed with a lot of information and, you know, some trial and error in terms of like ways to make myself feel better or help myself, I was able to take like huge steps forward.
And did your anxiety ever manifest itself in terms of a trouble falling asleep or getting to bed?
Oh, God, yes. I would say during those 2 years where I really struggled, the two hardest parts of the day for me were going to bed and first waking up in the morning. Because for me, my anxiety is really like a racing mind kind of thing.
I'm very familiar with that.
Yeah. And so getting to bed at night was really hard. And just like I would have anxiety about anxiety, I would have anxiety about falling asleep and my ability to fall asleep.
Right.
So then that becomes a problem. And if I wake up in the middle of the night, oh my God, how do I fall back asleep again?
Right.
And in the morning, oh my God, I woke up. Is it too early? Like, what am I going to do today? What am I doing? Kind of thing. So sleep is a problem for me. Not recently, but historically it has been.
It's a problem or opportunity for a lot of our audience. And did you find anything besides TM that helped?
So, you know, when it comes to my anxiety, in addition to TM, I would say that just a general mindfulness practice is really helpful. There's like a couple different like tools or mindfulness practices that I kind of go back and rely on that you could actually like write down as kind of like different things that you could do. So one of the things that I've learned is when I'm having racing thoughts, if I can gain perspective on it and realize I'm actually doing it, that's step one, right?
Yeah.
So you can at least get outside of yourself and be like, okay, I'm having this anxious moment right now. So that's step one. And then I always ask myself, what is versus what if?
Yep.
So what is applying the actual present moment, like where you physically are in the moment, to your thoughts.
Okay.
So instead of what ifing, which is basically just anxious thinking, right? What if this happens? What if that happens?
Right.
What if, you know, I wake up too early, too late? What if my boss is there before me? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Anxiety is always thinking about the future, right? Or like the things that aren't real. You're like ideating on stuff that isn't.
Ruminating.
Exactly. So that's all what if type of thinking, which is anxious thinking. So if you could change that to what is thinking, that is a really helpful kind of first step for me in terms of kind of getting myself out of that uncomfortable thought pattern.
Yeah.
And then the second thing.
Yeah, it's just hard when you're in it to get out of it.
It's so hard. So something that I've been doing lately that actually has been really helpful for me is in terms of mindfulness, sort of like a visualization. So you can visualize whatever you want. I visualize boats going down a river and that I'm like sitting next to the river and there are these boats like slowly going down the river. And when I'm having a thought that makes me feel uncomfortable or I don't like it, I visualize the thought going into a box on the boat and just kind of slowly sailing down the river.
Nice.
And like, I know that sounds silly, but you will be amazed at how helpful it can be for you. And you're not suppressing the thought, because if you suppress what you're anxious about, it will like rear its ugly head again at you some point later in your life. So you're not suppressing the thought. You're just acknowledging that you're having the thought. You're putting it in the little box on the boat and just sending it slowly down the river, just like out of your mind. So that visualization for me has been really helpful. And then the last thing, because we're talking about sleep, is that a couple months ago, I tried to specifically change my thought process about when I wake up or I'm having a really hard time falling asleep. And so now, instead of worrying about it, this is another mindfulness practice. I think about the actual feeling of being in my bed and how comfortable it feels to be in my bed.
Yeah.
And so I start thinking about those things instead of feeling uncomfortable about not being able to sleep. And I have found that changing my thought patterns like that has also been
really
helpful.
So I imagine you have then created the super bedroom sanctuary of
it. Oh, yeah. Totally. My bedroom is spotless every night when I go to sleep.
Yep.
My sheets are like tightly pulled. There's like, everything is very clean and put away, because if there's stuff in my room, that means that my mind is cluttered and I don't sleep as well. It feels like dirty sleep versus really clean sleep. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I fully agree that the environment affects the sleep you're going to have. And I'm pretty religious about keeping it really cold. Even in the winter, we keep it at 65, which people think is crazy.
Yeah.
But it definitely helps with my sleep.
It helps me too, because I wake up in like a hot sweat all the time. Like I did since I was a little kid. That's not anxiety related. That's just me and my body. But my boyfriend turns on the air conditioner even in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
So we just sleep with it on.
And do you take any sleep supplements or?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'll take a little CBD, like a CBD isolate product, or like a magnesium or valerian root. We actually at Love Wellness sell a product called Lights Out, and it's a formulation of organic valerian root, magnesium with melatonin and a couple other ingredients. So when we formulate products, we like to put lots of things together into like a proprietary blend versus I'm going to the store and I'm just buying magnesium right. or I'm just buying valerian root. We're trying to really give a lot of value to people who are buying our products, and like maybe there's one ingredient in our supplement that doesn't work for you as well, but this other ingredient really does work for you, so it still is appropriate for you to take. The thing is that my body does not operate well with melatonin, and so I don't personally take the Lights Out supplement.
Got it.
But I knew that most people do, their yeah. bodies do agree with melatonin. So I was like, all right, we're putting it in there. I'll just take something else.
I'll just do my TM mantra.
Exactly. I do my mantra and I take some magnesium, and, you know, mostly it's really about the environment more than anything else.
Yeah,
you know, I've always been afraid of becoming like dependent on something, even if it's like organic and natural,
right.
you know, because then when you don't have it, what do you do?
Right. And the panic seeps in.
Yeah.
So food is such a big part of any wellness journey. And
yeah.
also, you know, for anyone who suffers with anxiety, something they're aware of and thinking about the relationship between diet and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
You went to culinary school, right?
I did, yes.
So tell me more about that journey.
So, yeah, I went to the French Culinary Institute.
Not the usual choice for a wellness warrior.
Yeah, but I think they're actually, I think they connect really well, actually. For me, they did. I grew up loving to cook. I would cook with my mom every day when I got home from school.
Wow.
We would, like, watch Martha Stewart and The Galloping Gourmet, if you remember him. And I learned to love food as a kid, and I just love to cook. For me, it's really soothing.
Yeah.
It's almost another form of mindfulness
meditation.
Sure. Absolutely. And it's time that I get to spend for myself. And, you know, I often cook for other people. And so I feel like I'm like dedicating myself, you know, like through love, through food.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So I was creating a ton of food content at the time. And I thought that going to culinary school would be an important part of that journey for me, like just to get that education and to get that perspective and to provide a layer of legitimacy to just what I was doing. And I learned so much. It was so fun. Oh, my goodness.
Was it a year-long program? Or?
It was just a little bit less than a year.
Cool.
So I went full-time.
Oh, wow.
So you can do programs that, you know, are different in length based on how often you go. You can do part-time, full-time, weekends, you know, so it really is kind of like what you make of it. And through that experience, I learned how to cook amazing French cuisine, but I also really learned how to use alternative ingredients to supplement the things that I didn't want to be using, like canola oil and, you know, so much salt and things
yeah.
like that. And so, you know, for me, nutrition was always a really important part of that journey. And I think what I really kind of took away from going to culinary school is just what I talked about, being able to apply these classic techniques using alternative ingredients that my body prefers.
Yep.
And I think that actually segues really appropriately into someone who is a wellness warrior.
So how are you eating now?
Much cleaner than I did a few years ago.
Yeah. Walk me through breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Okay. So for
there's a typical one.
So for breakfast every day, I have full-fat cottage cheese with organic, preferably wild blueberries, but they're like harder to find, organic blueberries, and then probably a tablespoon of sunflower seeds.
Cool.
So that is a good mix of healthy fat, protein, and carbohydrates. And so for me, like, that is the meal that works for me. Like, I've been eating it for a while now, and generally I don't get hungry again until 11:30 or 12. And I wake up pretty early, and I exercise most mornings. So it fills me up, it's satiating, it gives me the energy I need, and then I kind of move on to the rest of the day. In the middle of the day, kind of just depending on how I feel. I really like let how I feel guide what I eat, to be honest with you. I'm not like a huge stickler for, oh my gosh, I have to have all my macros in at this meal and that kind of a thing. I'm like, if I'm feeling really hungry and my brain feels slow, I'm going to choose healthy carbohydrates and choose to fill up on those things. So like for lunch today at our office, they have a great restaurant. They have this amazing coconut curry, and you know, it's roasted sweet potato, and there's chickpeas in it, and there's black lentils, and there's a little bit of tofu and some vegetables, and like this just a delicious coconut curry sauce. Yeah. And so I eat something like that, or I eat a really healthy salad that like is a good mix of, you know, like I'll have a piece of spinach with avocado and an egg. So create like a really like high fat, like dense lunch in that way. Yeah. And then for dinner, generally I focus on some kind of protein with vegetables. I really have transitioned away from processed carbohydrates in the past couple of months, even a year. Like, I love pizza. It's my favorite food. But it doesn't really serve my body very well, to right. be honest with you. And you really notice it. Like, if you eat clean for a couple days or a couple weeks and then you go eat that pizza or whatever it is, like, I end up with the worst stomach ache, the worst headache. So, like, there's a direct correlation between the food that you eat and the way that it makes you and the way it makes your body feel. So, for me, I kind of have a sense of what works at this point. And I think that I actually operate pretty well on a diet that is lower carbohydrate and higher fat. So yeah. I don't know. I don't subscribe to like the ketogenic diet, but I think if you're somebody that's trying to live, you know, a healthier lifestyle, that's something that you can at least kind of model your diet after to a degree.
Right.
I really strongly disagree with limiting your carbohydrates to like 25 net carbs a day. You know what I mean?
I like fruit too much.
I love fruit. And I also think that there's a lot to be said for the fiber content in your food. And if you are concerned with how many net carbs you're getting, choose things that are very fiber dense, because yeah. a lot of nutritionists have changed their thinking. And they say now that you can subtract your how many grams of fiber you're eating against from your net carbs. So like if you have 50 net carbs today, but you had 20 grams of fiber, that would just be really 30 grams of carbohydrates.
Interesting.
So that's sort of like a new theory. If you read, you know, Tanya Zuckerbaugh, she does the F factor diet.
No.
It's a fiber diet.
Fiber, the new F word.
Yeah, truly. A fiber diet is delicious and you can like eat bread and all this stuff. It's great. Huh. It's really about trying to like maximize your food choices to make sure that they are really like fiber heavy.
Yeah. Within our audience, there's a lot more men than women doing the ketogenic diet.
Really? Is that the case?
Oh, overwhelmingly so.
Is that because they're going to get like super jacked from the ketogenic diet? Because you see people get super jacked.
Yeah. When we were in Miami Beach, there was a lot of ads in stores for the ketogenic diet. So I see the correlation between bodybuilding muscle mass and the diet.
What do you think about the keto diet?
You know, it's definitely something that our audience is super interested in right now. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of women, it's too restrictive.
Yeah.
I think there's things, you know, fat right now is such an interesting topic that I think a lot of people respond to the opportunity and encouragement to eat more fat. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now, especially pregnant, like it's not the time for me to be on.
Totally. You need to be like fueling that body.
Exactly. Fueling it what it wants, which oftentimes is at odds with a lot of wellness. More gluten when I'm pregnant than I do at any other time in life.
Yeah, but those are cravings. And I mean, the reality is for people that are listening, like the body's preferred source of energy is carbohydrates. It, like it's not fat. It's not protein. Like it is carbohydrates. And so like you just have to make decisions based on how your body feels. You know what I mean?
I mean, everyone is so different. Yeah. And what works for me is not going to work for me when I'm not pregnant.
Totally.
It's not going to work for you.
Yeah, 100%. But I will say, I actually do fine with like a lower number of carbs every day. I think because I went through when I first started to eat less carbs, I did do a very restrictive diet for about 2 weeks, not to be on that diet permanently, but just kind of to transition my body kind of away Sure. from that type of processed foods and always getting the pasta, always getting the pizza, like that kind of a thing. Like I live Yeah. in New York City, I eat in an Italian restaurant like twice a week. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of made the decision, like I'm going to just try this for myself and move away from these foods that I have always eaten and, you know, and so I did, and I honestly feel great. It definitely took a little while, but like I'm good on a lot of vegetables and like good sources of fat.
Those are two golden rules for a lot of people trying to figure out what works from a diet perspective. More vegetables is never a bad thing.
Yes. More vegetables is great. Like some vegetables and like sour cream onion dip. Delicious. Like let yourself have some fat. It's not that bad. I mean, for me, like I'm not going to say it's not that bad for you, but for me, like it agrees with my body.
Right. You were also very early on YouTube as it came to beauty.
Yes.
And what's a typical beauty routine like for you these days?
Skincare, and that's it. In case you can see from my face, your girl took my portrait, and I was like, I have no makeup on. I didn't know I was going to get my photo taken. Surprise! I should have assumed, because like this is not my first rodeo, but I came from the office, and I just didn't have time to do it this morning. But yeah, for me, it's really about skincare at this point. So I'm a big fan of Skin Medica. I love their products. And I was at my dermatologist's office the other day, and she was talking to me about blue light and how all of these lights can actually cause a lot of premature aging. So like your computer screen and your phone screen are actually aging us in brand new ways that we never realized.
Something else to worry about.
And so my focus right now is really heavily on just like a couple of products. Sunscreen every day.
Okay.
That also protects from like infrared light. So, like, I don't know how they do that, but Skin Medica makes a great one that protects from those, like, additional sources of, like, I don't know, blue rays coming from wherever, or gamma rays, infrared rays, I don't know. And I put Retin-A on every night.
Okay.
And then I'm focused on, like, an antioxidant kind of, like, serum that also protects against, like, environmental factors and these, like, random sources of light and rays that,
right.
like, you can't see, but they are present.
So it's, like, going to be -6 tomorrow in New York, which, you know, I'm really excited about. How are you going to keep your skin moisturized?
I'm going to drink a lot of water.
Great.
Honestly, you can slather on a ton of moisturizer, but if you are not drinking so much water every day, like, your skin is going to look dry, your body is going to not function in the way that you want it to. So I have this, what is the brand? I'm going to just pimp a water bottle brand because I love it so much. It's an Elemental water bottle, and it has this top where the straw just pops open, so you don't have to screw open the water bottle.
Wow.
And I know that this does not sound groundbreaking.
Small win.
But truly it is.
Life-changing.
It is life-changing. It's a life-changing water bottle. They sell them on Amazon. They're like $20.
Huh.
So get the one with the straw on top where the straw just pops open, and you will drink so much more water.
So
every
how many
day.
Liters of water are you drinking a day?
How many liters is that? I mean, it's a big bottle.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. Why do you ask me hard questions like that? I drink at least four. I at least drink at least four of those big water bottles every
wow.
day.
Wow. Okay.
But it's really easy because this little straw thing, you can just suck that water out. Just get it into your body.
And then what about other wellness modalities? Do you do acupuncture, cupping? Like, are there any things you're like trying?
So I've done all that stuff.
Yeah.
To me, the one standout is meditation. More than anything else. And I think obviously like moving your body every day to some degree is very helpful.
Yeah.
Nothing is better than that. You
yeah.
know what I mean? In terms of like keeping your body like healthy and like your blood circulating. I started reading this really interesting book called Letting Go. Have you heard of Letting Go?
No.
I'll have to send you guys the author later. But there's in the first couple pages, there's a really interesting piece in the book, and you know, he with humor approaches all these different things that people do to be well, and the list is like on and on and on. You know, like do Kundalini yoga, like go to Costa Rica and
you
do
can't
ayahuasca.
Have a job, you can't have a family.
Do acupuncture, find religion, go on a run. Like the list goes on and on and on. And it is funny when we see that our approach to being well does take us from like adventure to adventure to adventure. And I guess something that I'm trying to find out for myself is like, what is the thing that is like the long-term fix for
right.
what ails us? And I don't have the answer to that yet. I don't think most people have the answer to that yet. But, you know, how I feel is a reflection of kind of, you know, what was said in the book and just the very early parts of the book about we're always searching.
Yeah, and that's why it's a journey. And I think early on in the journey, I tried a ton of different stuff until you figure out what works for you. And mm-hmm. then, you know, tend to be very loyal to those
yes,
few
when you find
things that make a difference.
On. Have you done the class by Taryn Toomey?
Of course.
I just started doing that and I'm obsessed.
You're a little late.
I know, but my assistant Allie's there. So we work out of this co-working space, and I guess the people at Taryn Toomey just started working there or something. So they came up and introduced ourselves the other day. And I know I'm late. I'm like 2 years late to the party. But I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like know about a lot of stuff in New York. So I was shocked, and we went to the class, and I didn't even research it before. I just assumed I was going to just a normal workout class.
Did you cry?
Oh, yeah. I went to class with one of the founding instructors.
Okay.
And it was very powerful and great exercise.
Totally.
And yeah, I know I'm late to the party, but like if you have not been to Tarantumi, you should go.
Do you have any?
It rocked my world.
Do you have any other New York staples that you love in terms of where you get your wellness fix in?
Yes. I love Modo Yoga.
Yep.
Hot Yoga on
West
6th Avenue.
Will, okay.
Yeah, I go to the 6th Avenue one. I love the Flow class.
I don't know the Flow class.
I just mean like they have like different classes. Ah, there's like Flow to music, Flow to no music. Then there's one that's just like poses.
Always music for me.
So I prefer the Flow class that's like 60 or 75 minutes. The 90-minute Flow hot yoga is really intense. Like extremely intense.
Yeah.
And I've done it before, but I always find myself in child pose a lot for like the last 20, 30 minutes because it just starts to become too overwhelming, the heat, and you're like, you're really tired at that point. So I love Modo. I have been going to SLT for a number of years.
Yep.
I love SLT.
Yep. A lot. So hard, so strong.
It's so hard, but when you come out the other side, you feel so proud of yourself.
Yeah. And then you feel it for like 3 days.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the workouts that I do. I kind of switched from doing a lot of like high intensity workouts to lower intensity workouts. And it just works for my body more.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And if you do high intensity exercise, that can make your anxiety worse.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I was in like a crazy dance class a couple of years ago and I had a full panic attack in the dance class.
Yeah.
I was like, why is this happening?
My anxiety was a lot worse in my 20s. And I think it's when I was also like running 10 miles for fun and, you know, wow, putting extra mm-hmm. strain on my body that didn't really need to happen.
Yeah.
Not really listening to the body in the best possible
totally, yeah,
way.
When you really like stop and listen to what your body's telling you, you're like, oh, maybe I should make some changes.
Yeah.
Maybe I should slow down.
Yeah.
Maybe I should think about this differently.
Yeah. Exercise has definitely evolved along with that.
Mm-hmm. Even just walking in the city, like that's exercise.
Oh, that's the modality I do the most often these days. Yeah. I mean, that is one of the wonderful things about New York is the ability to walk.
Do you track your steps or no?
Yeah. I typically walk with my husband on the weekend who carries his Jawbone monitor mm-hmm. and will report. And there is some sense of accomplishment in knowing that you've crossed that 10K mark every day.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know if I get 10,000 every day, especially in the winter.
Yeah.
When it's too cold to walk to the office, I'm not walking to the office.
Yeah.
And then I barely walk around when I'm there.
Fair enough. So you have a huge presence on social media. And there is this, you know, tension in the wellness world. I think, you know, the cat's out of the bag that everyone knows that social media technology, not always doing the best for our mental health and our wellness. So how do you manage all that?
Very poorly, to be honest with you. I don't run my own Instagram anymore. I outsource that to somebody else.
Because you know it's not good for you to be spending time
there.
Yeah,
I don't like it. It doesn't make me feel good. I don't like scrolling through stuff. I saw that I was starting to make comparisons to other people who are on my feed. So I've muted a lot of people on my Instagram. I'll still go. Mostly I'm looking for like memes and news at this point.
Right.
But, you know, I think that, you know, if you are a person of influence or in the public eye, you do have the opportunity to do good things with social media,
yeah,
but that's a choice, right? And I think that so much of the energy on those platforms is negative, and it can really just throw off your whole day. I'm sure you've been scrolling on Instagram before and you've seen something that upsets you.
Of course.
And if it didn't exist or you weren't on it on that hour, your day wouldn't have been ruined or changed. So if I was not in the position I'm in, I would fully unsubscribe from those things. I would delete them. I would say goodbye. But, you know, for our brand and for, you know, my personal, I hate to say it like I have a personal brand because I don't really buy into that. I think that's silly. And it like comes from a place of ego, to be honest. But like for Love Wellness, it is important that we have a social media presence. It's important for building the business. It's important from an advertising perspective, for SEO. So I'm approaching that from the perspective of a business owner. Like this is something that I have to do.
Yeah.
And even for my personal channels, I approach it in the same way.
Right.
Like this is something that I have to do.
It's a business decision.
It's a business decision.
Yeah.
It's not a personal decision that makes me feel great. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, no, I think junior high was hard enough without social media and Instagram, and I worry about how these will all evolve over the next years.
It's just a struggle. And for me, like, in addition to just, I think, the bad vibes you can get from the content, I think that for me, being on my phone too much and the constant scrolling makes me feel frenetic.
Yeah.
It feeds an energy in my body that is not a positive energy.
Right.
And so for me, that's a huge part of it also. It's like, this is not physically doing me any favors by, like, being on this and having my eyes dart around the screen. And I literally can go from, like, the news app to Instagram back to the news app and not even remember or, like, realize what I'm doing.
Right.
And that's troubling to me.
Right.
You know?
Do you have any of the apps in place that will track your usage so that you spend less time on
your phone? I think my phone just does. I feel like I get a report every week.
Yeah.
It's just a notification. Like, you know, you spent 5.5 hours on your phone every day or this week or I don't know, whatever. So I do make a concerted effort to just get off my phone at a certain time every night. Goodbye.
Right.
I shut it down.
I take it the phone's not in your bedroom.
It is in the bedroom, but it's on silent on, like, the windowsill, like, opposite of my bed.
Right.
So I do still have a little bit of that uncomfortable, like, feeling of, like, oh my God, if my mom needs to call me in the middle of the night, like, I need my phone in my room.
Right.
But I, you know, turn it
on
to
the world without landlines.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I turn it on this silent sleep mode. I turn on that moon. I actually utilize the bedtime feature on my iPhone. Oh. So at a certain time every night, your phone will automatically go into that moon mode.
Nice.
So it will make no sound. And then it automatically wakes you up in the morning at whatever time you choose. And it does it with this really nice alarm that's like, do, 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 do. And it's just, it's way nicer.
Yeah, that sounds very calming.
Yeah, I shut down from my work emails too at a certain time, around like 7:30. I'm like, I'm done.
Right.
I will get to this tomorrow.
So transitioning to work, tell me about why you started Love Wellness.
So I think it primarily comes from my personal wellness journey. Yeah. And not being well for a couple of years. So, and I touched on the anxiety, depression, and I think just my physical body was not well. I was like at the OBGYN all the time. I don't know if because I'm particularly susceptible to, like, getting different kinds of, you know, common female infections, or if it was my diet at that point, or if it was all the stress that my body was under. I don't really know. I'm mostly better now. You know what I mean? I still have, like, periods where I, like, you know, need to take a probiotic every day, or, like, need to, like, do a touch up with, like, our OTC drug. But for the most part, I'm really healthy. So I was really interested in that category because, like, personally, I was struggling in that category of women's personal care. And I saw so many different doctors. And it was finally when my doctors started recommending more natural approaches or more homeopathic approaches to healing my body that's when I started to get better. So it wasn't about, like, prescriptions for me. Like, all of that type of stuff. Like, it would work for a period of time, but, like, long term, didn't really make a difference. So I decided to launch Love Wellness because I thought that there was a huge opportunity in the category of women's personal care to create a really, like, female first, innovative brand that was bringing natural products to the market that women themselves could get behind. Because I think you go into whatever drugstore you're in, and that aisle is archaic.
Yeah, it's not the most inspiring. The packaging is not...
It's not inspiring. I think a huge number of the products that are available are marketed as safe and effective for women when they're not. There are ingredients that are in, you know, antifungal creams, for instance, that, you know, are, like, on the Dirty Dozen list and, like, cause cancer and do all these things. So I think, like, that's a huge problem. I think that a lot of the products that have been made available for women in that category have these just, like, subliminal anti-feminist undertones.
Yeah.
Through the messaging, the imaging, the commercials that are put out.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to create a really positive female-first experience in that category specifically, because it was something that I was yearning for. Right. I would go into the store and even buying tampons, not like buying the stuff that we think is embarrassing, like even buying tampons, like, is not a positive emotional experience for a woman.
No, it's
so
not.
How can we turn that upside down and make it something that is positive because you are able to make the choice to put something that you feel good about, like, in or on your body. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you started there, but you didn't stop there. It's so
more. It's so much more than that now. Yeah. So I launched the business in October of 2016.
Okay.
Right before the election. Literally, October 13th, I think October 13th, 2016 is the day that we launched. And... oh my God, what an interesting couple of months right afterwards. Right. But yeah, so I started the business there. And then in August of 2018, so just at the end of last year, we did a huge rebrand and we launched 5 new products that represent our total body care line. So we have products for managing your metabolism, a product specifically for depression and anxiety, which I was really excited about,
yeah.
A product for sleep, a product for bloating, which for me is like always a huge like hormonal problem, and like food babies, things like that. And then a product for skincare. So they're all ingestibles. And I think I was talking about Lights Out earlier. We try to maximize our use of natural and organic ingredients. They're not 100% natural. Like if you take a vitamin and it claims to on the label to be 100% natural, that's not true.
Right.
So if one day we can get our products to that point, I would love to, but there are just limitations in the marketplace and from the FDA that just prevent that from being a reality.
Right.
But we were really excited to launch these new products and in essence kind of relaunch the brand with like amazing packaging across the board. The brand message is still the same. You know, we aim to offer women natural, safe, doctor-recommended products and create a more open and honest self-care culture. Like at its core, that's right. Who we are.
And that's so exciting to see women talking about this more and doing it in a way that feels much more supportive and driving the conversation as opposed to being talked to.
100%. I think we're really excited to be able to continue to offer women products that feel really innovative, that feel good for you, that are about like supporting you and like your like self-care or wellness needs kind of like across a huge spectrum of whatever they might be. And I think for us, one of the differentiating factors is that like we're willing to come out and actually talk about this stuff in just a really straightforward way.
Right.
It's a part of our packaging. Like, you know, like if you're reading the labels on our products, like we're not afraid to create this, you know, positive female message and share that. And I think that that has been a huge part of why we have been successful initially, in addition to just the effectiveness of the products. Everything just works really well.
Right.
So that is also a huge part of it. If the products didn't work very well, then I don't think that we would get that far, apart from like bravo from having like a, you know, like a, you know, like a female first voice. But really, we're really excited for 2019. We're building out some community features later in the year, in addition to launching, we talked about it, we're launching 11 SKUs in 2019.
Wow.
Big year. So it's going to be a big year. Yeah. So it started in women's personal care. We moved on to total body health and we're kind of coming back to women's personal care in a lot of ways this year. So I'm really excited about it.
And what's been the biggest entrepreneurial lesson you've learned along the way?
I think for me, the biggest lesson is that, it's okay to ask for help. I have never really approached the business with an ego of like, I have to be the CEO. I'm running the show. Like, I'm the most important part of this business. But what I think I failed to see in the first year and a half is that I really did need help. And yeah. It took me a really long time to get to that point of like, finally, sort of crossing that bridge. And I think just being like, okay, I'm going to really do this. I'm going to bring people on to help me. I'm going to hire a team. And
right.
So I think kind of just like making the decision that I was going to fully commit to it has been one of the biggest struggles so far, to be honest with you.
And, you know, entrepreneurship and stress are things that are usually like very closely related.
Mm-hmm.
How has this evolved on your anxiety journey?
To be honest, it's really helped my anxiety.
Really?
Yeah.
Said no entrepreneur ever.
You know, it's because I come from a world of creating content and you never know where your next paycheck is coming from.
Sure.
So for me, this has been a really stabilizing thing for my life. It's provided me with a lot of security that I've never had before. You know, I've always been a 1099 employee, you know what I mean? Until now.
Yeah.
Until, you know, March of last year when things dramatically changed. And I think that's what part of my fear was. I was like, oh my gosh, I have this lifestyle where, you know, I do work a lot, but I create my schedule.
Sure.
I can travel, I can do
pros and cons.
Yeah, the pros and cons. But I realized that for years, like that has been one of the things that was driving my anxiety because
right.
every day I would have to make the decision about what I was going to do.
Right.
Like, what do I do with myself? And so for me, surprisingly, it has really helped my anxiety a ton.
And are you, how do you like try to spend most of your time at the company? Is it product development, marketing?
Yeah, so, you know, we have hired some really amazing people over the past couple months. I was really a one-woman show for a really long time. So now that we have hired or made some key hires, I get to really apply myself to product innovation again, which is, you know, what encouraged me to start the company, because I had these ideas, you know, that I wanted to share with the world. And so for me, I'm really excited to be able to spend, devote more of my time there, because for the past year, I would say I've been really heavy on the logistics and planning side of the business. Because our growth has been so tremendous, I guess is the right word, that one of the big problems is like we're constantly falling short on inventory. We're selling out of SKUs and we...
High-class problems.
They're high-class problems. So that has been a big challenge for us, is just keeping up with the demand, to be honest with you. So we just hired a great director of logistics and planning. So she has taken my day-to-day responsibilities off my plate so that I can devote myself to these 11 new products that we're launching this year. And, you know, how do we want to build out the website and what kind of features do we want to add and how do we want to build out the technology? And, you know, so I'm really excited to be able to commit myself to sort of why I started the company in the first place again this year.
Right. Getting back to the mission.
Yeah, totally.
What gets you excited when you wake up in the morning?
I think being with my team makes me feel very encouraged every day, honestly. I work with a great group of women and everybody is so smart and so dedicated and so on board with what we're trying to do. And I think I spend a lot of time with Amanda, who runs our customer experience, and we read emails together and, you know, we respond to people and it is, it makes you feel
so they're really
so
getting
good.
An email back from you?
Sometimes they do, yeah. If you read some of our customer testimonials, you know, women are like, this product has literally changed my life. And a lot of that commentary is directed towards our original line of products, which is the women's personal care products.
Right.
Some of these reviews and some of these emails from people like blow my mind. You know, it's like, I just had a baby and I've been struggling with this for the past 4 years. I guess I didn't, I guess in the context of this thing, it would be like, I had a baby 4 years ago. I've had BV ever since then. And your product has fixed me.
Oh,
you know, just things like you have like actually changed my life. These products actually work. You know, thank you so much for supporting this mission of like women's empowerment and body positivity. So to see that we're like actually affecting real change in our community is very encouraging.
And I know you're now able to get to sleep at night, but what would keep you up at night if you weren't doing your 20 minutes of TM and living in a sleep sanctuary?
I think just still like anxiety about sleep. It comes back to my original things. Anxiety about anxiety, anxiety about sleep, anxiety about not knowing what to do with myself, about waking up in the middle of the night.
That circular thought process that's so hard to turn off.
Yeah, that's what's always been really tricky for me, for sure.
And what advice would you give to your younger self?
I wouldn't give myself any advice. Truly, you only learn through experience, so like, why would I want to give myself a preview? I am who I am because I've like gone through all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't give myself any advice.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Colleen.